Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 158. 158 weeks of us bringing you, of course, the hottest stories that Microsoft is pinging each other about on Facebook and email and whatever. You know, maybe they'll pick up the phone. You never know. A little text here and there.
Skype.
You never know. Skype, a very valid way to communicate and interact with your loved ones, family, friends, and colleagues. Anyway, I wanted to, before we jump into this week's hot topics, comment on some of last week's people who commented on our show. And let's just start it off with TechAZ, who didn't like my outfit. He said it looked like I was wearing some sort of Lord of the Rings Snuggie. He prefaced it by saying that I'm usually very stylish, which, you know, he is accurate there. But I thought Lord of the Rings appealed to this demographic.
I think that's what he's saying. He's like, Laura is always usually so stylish. Where did that Lord of the Rings Snuggie come from? I want one. I think that's the underlying subtext.
I think that's what he was saying. Like, that's even more stylish than usual. That's so uber hot. I think we should all be wearing Lord of the Rings Snuggies. Paul, do you have one?
I unfortunately have zero Snuggies. I do have a full unibody suit, though.
I don't want to know what you use that for. Is it made out of latex?
You probably don't want to know any more details about anything.
You know, I just want to comment on that. So I actually do own a Snuggie, but even better than a Snuggie is a Slanket.
A Slanket? What about the lazy all day?
Oh my God, I love that thing. It's got the feeties and the little back patch and that opens up so you can go potty.
Stop the program!
And in the commercial, they show you, like, you can use it at the football game, or you can wear it to get the mail. Like, you could wear your lazy all day, everywhere. I love it.
Yeah.
Channel 9 Slanket and a Channel 9 Sluzzy and a Channel 9 Lazy and all of it. Goodness.
Channel 9 could be cash flow positive if you just start cross-selling some of those items you just mentioned.
I know. I'll put that into my business plan and bring it up at next year's performance review.
You should.
There were some other comments that they thought that I was carrying the entire show now that you're just virtually here.
Yeah, and then Liquid Spy responded. He said, I really want to watch the episode where they are both virtual with some random guy or girl pushing a broom trying to figure out what it is they're talking about.
We have random boys and girls sweeping, looking at us like we're crazy. So that actually is real. That happens. All right. Well, that's about all I wanted to talk about before we started the show. Paul, did you have anything else valuable to mention?
We'll save all my valuable comments for the stories.
Sounds good. Let's start the show. So, if you ask for something, we like to give it to you. And in last week's comments, someone named R. Moore Noger, which, on a side story, I think you might want to think of getting a different handle. That's really difficult to understand. R. Moore Noger. But anyway, he wanted to talk about Ballmer's announcement and that Microsoft is not just a services company, but a sort of a devices and services company. And this was stated, I guess, in a letter that Ballmer sends out to his shareholders, an annual letter that he sends to his shareholders, and then it's, I guess, made public, right? And in there, he said that we will be focusing more on devices and services and not just services. Is that about right, Paul?
Yeah. So every year, Ballmer and every CEO sends out a shareholder letter accompanying their thoughts for the coming fiscal year. And since our fiscal year, ends in end of June, then the reports come out, and as we come up with our strategy for the coming year, we will release these tidal wave memos and shareholder letters. And Ballmer just had a lot of very interesting stuff to say this year. And in previous years, there's always been like little hints alluding to what are the incremental changes or the focus or some of the bigger items that will basically be announced throughout the year. And sometimes it hints at newer versions of products or services. And this time around, Ballmer pretty much shook up the industry and said that we're really going to focus on purpose-built devices. So he mentioned the Xbox that's been out there for nearly a decade now, and and as well as the Surface that has been recently announced and hinted at potentially having more devices that fit specific needs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes absolutely perfect sense, you know, to run our software on our hardware. I'm sure some of the third-party manufacturers and the OEMs may not agree because this may take away some of their business, and I'm just guessing here. But for me, as a consumer, you know, I would think that the products are going to run better. You know, company A's built software on company A's hardware. I mean, that just makes sense to me, Paul.
Yeah, it's definitely a model that has been wildly successful from, you know, one of the largest competitors out there. But Microsoft has historically been a partner-driven company where I think it's like 96 or 98% of Microsoft's revenue actually comes from our partners. So this is a very delicate balance for Microsoft to make sure that we are still empowering the partner ecosystem and that we are, well, I guess it's really not we anymore now that I'm no longer working at Microsoft, but it's definitely a very delicate balance between empowering the partners as well as making specific devices that can unleash a new set of value for consumers and businesses, and perhaps even, you know, filling a niche that the partners haven't filled yet. So it's definitely something that is worth exploring. If you look at the amount of money that Microsoft makes every year, it's an insane amount of money, but there are companies out there that have been building, you know, purpose-built devices for very specific needs, and they've been doing incredibly well.
Right. Well, you know what? I think that there's room for everyone. There's room for us to have third-party manufacturers like we currently do, and for Microsoft to make their own. I mean, there's plenty of consumers and plenty of love and plenty of room for everyone. That's what I say.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely already a billion consumers that Microsoft addresses, and R. Moreno Jr., I think, just got his question answered.
Why don't I get this letter from Ballmer, by the way? I don't get a letter.
Yeah,
I'm a shareholder. I didn't get a letter.
Well, somehow you read it online, so I think you you were covered.
I mean, I guess. I'd like a hand address to me, but whatever. All right, Paul, I'm going to paint a picture for you. Are you ready? So back in junior high school, Laura Foy, junior high school, adorable little junior high school kid going to school.
You know, I bet you were adorable.
I was cute, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was really short, though, really short. I was like 4'7" through like my entire high school career.
And you're, what, like 4'11" now?
Yeah, I'm getting up there pretty soon with heels. Anyway, I digress. I enrolled, since I was in, you know, all advanced classes, I enrolled in computer science class, and computer science class at the time consisted of typing. That's what computer science was. It taught you how to type.
Did they call it computer science?
They called it computer science.
No
way. They might have called it computers.
Yeah, they probably called it computers, and you probably hated it as much as science.
I enjoyed all classes. I was a really good student. Anyway, they called it computer class, and that's what we learned was how to type, you know, like where the little index finger goes and then whatever.
A space, J space.
Exactly. Every quick brown fox jumps over the fence, whatever it was.
The lazy dog.
Yeah. It goes jumping. I'm interested to hear what computer class was like, because I know they offered it, I'm sure, in your high school. Was it a little bit different from the couple years difference we have in age?
Yeah, so in my high school, they actually had a quick basic programming class, which I breezed through since I already taught myself, I think, Visual Basic or something like that. And then I just did an independent study where I taught myself C++, and then I actually taught a C++ class when I was in high school because none of the teachers there knew what it was. So I think, you know,
right,
every high school is a little different.
Gloating hour. We actually have a purpose to this.
Yeah. I mean, now what Microsoft is doing is they're saying, look, there's not a standardized computer science curriculum across all these different high schools.
Right.
And being able to get students interested in computer science and technology earlier on in their careers namely middle school, high school, early college, will give them a better chance of succeeding and earning a computer science degree so that Microsoft and other tech companies and the world can benefit from having this many more tens of thousands, ideally, or hundreds of thousands of people qualified to code and to use technology to better the world.
Yeah, I mean, a few things about this really surprised me. One, I think they threw out the number that, yeah, like each year there's 150,000 new open technology jobs, and yet there's only about 40,000 students who graduate with computer science undergraduate degrees.
Right.
In my world, seems crazy because, you know, most everyone that I interact with is in some sort of computer-related industry. You know, that's just because of where I live and who I interact with. So that seems weird to me, but I guess there's a huge shortage of properly trained and educated computer science technicians, engineers, programmers.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the stat is between each year between now and 2020, there's going to be 150,000 new computer science-y type jobs. Now, I don't think those are all purely engineers or developers. I think it can also be around IT and other fields that are still technical but don't necessarily need you to code, and that there's fewer than 40,000 American graduates. So there's still many more graduates out there in areas like Eastern Europe, Russia, China, India. There definitely are, you know, a substantial amount of people graduating around the world, but there will be a very large shortage. So Microsoft is, go ahead.
Well, what you were going to say is Microsoft is sending our staff essentially into high schools to teach, right? Is that where you were going?
Yeah. So there was actually a guy a few years ago who decided that he was going to volunteer his own time. He was a Microsoft employee, and on his way to work, he was going to teach a computer science course to a local high school. And some executives got wind of this, and they're like, we really love this initiative. We would love to have you actually spearhead this and try and scale it out. So there were about 22 high schools in the Seattle area that started having different Microsoft employees actually teach a class, you know, 2 to 5 days a week. And now there's about 110 people across multiple companies, not just Microsoft, that are trying to invest their time in getting high school students excited about computer science.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually amazed. I think it's great that Microsoft is doing this, but I'm amazed that it was even necessary. Like, to me, I don't know how you possibly could graduate or get along in this world without a computer science, at least high school level education. So I'm surprised to see that the high schools themselves haven't taken it upon themselves to, and you know, it could be a financial thing, I don't know, lack of resources, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of reasons.
It's a bunch of different reasons. Like, sure, lack of resources, but it's also lack of training for the educators. A lot of people that are teaching high schools today, it's not necessarily in their financial incentives if they are highly qualified in computer science to teach. Like, if you look at, you know, a lot of jobs coming out of college now, if you become an engineer or developer, you're looking at easily a six-figure salary. So, you know, compare that with the average out-of-college salary for a teacher in the U.S., and you're looking at, you know, about a $50,000 difference.
Right. I think we really need government, whoever, really needs to assess what's going on in the world today and reevaluate the curriculums for high school. You know, here, I'm gonna tell you a little story here. So, when I graduated high school and then I was shipped off to college, you know, I hadn't learned things that I think I think should be taught in high school. Things like, do you want a high APR or a low APR on a credit card? Because they give you those in college, credit cards.
Yeah, you just and you get a free T-shirt.
You know, like basic life skills, I thought that should have been taught, which I didn't pick up along the way, and trust me, learned the hard way. I'm just saying that high schools might need to look at what people really need to know before sending them out into the jungle to get eaten.
There's a whole philosophical debate on whether the K through 12 education is teaching people what they need to know, or if it's teaching them the core critical thinking skills and it's up to them to apply it to important areas like how to balance a checkbook or how to deal with debt like credit card debt or mortgages. And now you know, we're having highly qualified engineers go in and partner with the educators to teach not just how to use Word or Office, which I think are really important things for the average information worker, but getting people excited about developing and coding and building new things using computer science. So I think this is a great initiative, and I'm really interested to see how successful it is, especially once the Microsoft employees move on to a different classroom or to a different high school, and then it's up to the actual full-time teacher to pick up where the Microsoft employee left off and to see if it's a sustainable program.
Right on. Yeah, well, kudos to Microsoft, and I think I'm going to go ahead and write a letter to my local councilman about how I think they should teach, you know, how to balance a checkbook, because it would have helped. So, as you all know, Windows 8 is launching October 26th. Mark your calendars. Very exciting. And one of the things that people are saying will sort of make or break, or sort of really help determine whether or not this operating system and launch is a success, is the amount of apps in the Windows 8 store, right, Paul?
Yep.
Right, that's what they're saying. I think that we've got about 2,000 now, and Microsoft executives have said that they're going to aggressively pursue to have 100,000 within the next 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So here's a few things I want to say about that. If you want to get to the 100,000 apps, it's up to you, the Ping audience, the developers, to get out there and start building apps and help us make this launch a success. And aside from that, I think Windows 8 is cool just because I think it's cool. I think even if it, this is just me, and I, you know, I'm crazy, but I think even if it didn't have any apps, I would still want it as my operating system. So, Paul, why do you think the amount of apps and the quality of apps and the apps are so important to an operating system success?
Well, apps have always been important to an operating system success. An operating system is meant to provide the functionality to make software easily accessible on a hardware device. Now, there are apps that have historically shipped with Windows. You get things like Notepad or WordPad or Solitaire or Minesweeper, and those are just apps to, you know, showcase the platform to give you the essentials. Now with Windows 8, there are a lot of essentials that are coming with the OS itself. So not only do you have Internet Explorer 10, which is going to be super interesting, but you also have tight integration with SkyDrive and the Microsoft identity system, so that you can basically sync all your stuff everywhere. But being able to empower third-party developers to do an incredibly interesting integrated experiences is a core tenet to any type of platform. So a lot of the pundits out there are saying that, you know, Apple and Android have 700,000 apps. Well, if you look at like the actual number of apps that have ever been written for Windows, I'm sure it's in the millions. Like, Windows has been the primary desktop operating system out there for decades, and the amount of code that's been written on the Microsoft platform is phenomenal. Ballmer actually mentioned in his shareholder letter that there's over 8 million developers out there that have been developing on the Microsoft ecosystem. So it's not really surprising that this VP of advertising is saying that that Microsoft is looking at getting 100,000 apps in 3 months, because when you actually look at the potential customer base for Windows 8, you're looking at already a billion consumers, and they're targeting
going to be accessed kind of by default, really.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where Microsoft does have a very strong channel, and when a new version of the operating system is available, that is the default OS that's going to be put on the motion that's already selling hundreds of millions of PCs, whether they be desktops or laptops. What's going to be interesting is to see how Microsoft does in the tablet market, and whether combining all of the OS from a, you know, a keyboard and mouse point of view into a tap friendly point of view is going to be a success, or whether it confuses the older customers, or doesn't quite delight the newer customers. So I think with Sinofsky at the helm, he's made a no compromises strategy that will really prove itself hopefully over the first 6 to 12 months.
Cool. And Paul, I know you're doing your share now that you're non-Microsoft. I'm sure you're out there developing apps that you'll submit to the Windows Store, right, Paul?
We are definitely working on some next generation advertising, and there's a little video attached to the article that we're sending out where they actually said some interesting things to that could potentially be interesting for my company. Where they're going to be reimagining what advertisements are and have a much more integrated and non-annoying experience. I know a lot of people absolutely hate ads, but that's because the ads that are out there are either not relevant or they're taking away from your experience. But if they can be incorporated in either in subtle ways or really creative ways, I think that could really open up a whole new wave of interacting with potential customers.
Sounds good, Paul. Well, if you could figure out a way to make you non-annoying, I say go for it.
I'll see if there's software that can help with that. Maybe this mute button would help.
All right, so every year Microsoft conducts something we call the Giving Campaign, which where we encourage our employees to give what they can to charities and other sort of groups and organizations globally in order to just help the world, heal the world, really. And they've just reported that Microsoft itself, and I think this is before the employee contributions, just the company gave $900 million away to nonprofits last year.
Wow, that's an incredible, that's like nearly $1 billion in a fiscal year to give to charities.
I mean, we all knew that Bill Gates, a huge philanthropist, and this is something he's passionate about. And I just look at, I don't think we can even grasp how much money that is. I know I can't. That is just an unbelievable amount of money that we just give away to help the world. So I think, and that's before the employee contributions, right, Paul?
Actually, it includes the employee contributions. The way that it breaks down is that Microsoft employees, along with the match from Microsoft. So, for example, if a Microsoft employee donates $1,000, Microsoft will match that at $1,000 up to $12,000 annually. So employees donated in conjunction with Microsoft about $99.6 million this past year. So that's, you know, roughly, you know, $50 million from employees plus, you know, roughly $50 million from the Microsoft match. And then what Microsoft has also done is that they've donated about $804 million in software donations to over 62,000 nonprofits globally. So this could be anything from the OS to Office to I imagine like the BizSpark program is put in there so that all these students across the world can get access to great developer tools and the Microsoft platform. So, you know, getting Visual Studio and Azure and all these things so that it makes it really easy for them to develop these next great apps that can be put across, you know, all the different Microsoft platforms.
Right, that can be added to the Windows Store to help us reach 100,000.
Yeah.
When I've done some charitable work in the Seattle area, and groups and organizations get very excited when a Microsoft employee comes in because they know they're getting double. So if I go in and I spend an afternoon helping out at Habitat for Humanity, not only do they get my time, but they get an hourly rate of what my time is worth given to them by Microsoft. So they get my help hammering and painting, and then Microsoft matches that in a dollar amount. So it's really just it's a really cool thing, and it's something to be proud of. So anyone who says that Microsoft isn't cool, I say take that. because giving is cool. All right, everybody, that wraps it up for this week. But come back next week for more. Actually, you know what? I don't know if we're going to be here next week. I'm out of town. Oh, wait, no, I'll be here next week. Just kidding. The week after that, not so much. Next week, I'm all good. And in the meantime, you can follow me. Just find out what's going on at Elfoy. And you can follow this guy over here.
At Paul Mest.
At Paul Mest. And give us lots of comments and feedback because we love it. And we want to hear what you think about this new setup. We're trying new things every week, only to better you. We do this for you. Have a good week.